FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is July 5th, 2018. Hope you had a wonderful 4th. I know I did. Went to the fireworks for the first time in a couple of years. It was a little rainy here, but we still had a great time. As always, I urge you, be part of the show. Join us. Email address for future reference is kl@kerrylutz.com. I am getting more and more caught up on the back email. We're down to almost single digits. And hey, it's always great to have you here. So it's been 7 years, best 7 years of my life. I plan to do this for another 27 years, or as long as my mind and body can continue to function at a high level, which I hope will be for the long run. Anyways, it's time for another Triple Lutz Report, and this is episode 456. So a couple things to go over. Bitcoin. I just want to remind you that if you're on my mailing list, and you should be, if you're not, go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com, click that box on the upper right, put in your email address. This is the value of the show. On December 16th, 2017, Bitcoin hit its all-time high of $19,400 per Bitcoin. That was the peak. That was it. And on that day, I actually composed a newsletter and I sent it out the following day on December 17th. Probably many of you received it. And I told you Bitcoin was going to crash. I pretty much called the peak to the day. I said, sell half your Bitcoin because we all know Bitcoin is going to infinity, because just like gold and silver went to infinity, the dot-com stocks went to infinity. The stock market is heading to infinity. Of course, Bitcoin is going to. But just in case it doesn't, you might want to consider selling half your position. Because look, you'll still be left of half of infinity. And as you know, you don't have to be a mathematician to know that infinity is not divisible. Whether you have a dollar worth of Bitcoin and it goes to infinity, or you have $1 million and it goes to infinity. Infinity is infinity. It's infinite. So better to have half of infinity than to have a loss. And pretty much that warning was out there on all of the cryptocurrencies, which most of them are cryptocurrencies. Their only purpose is to separate you from your rapidly declining fiat dollars, which will still buy you a latte at Starbucks, although it now costs 20 cents more per latte, but hey, we can't help that. Nonetheless, your rapidly declining fiat dollars did not rapidly escalate or decline anything like Bitcoin. And as I speak to you today, it's 10:15 on July 5th. Bitcoin's trading at $6,600 and 3 cents and change. So look, it's down almost two-thirds, and it's been down even more than that. My belief is probably going down to 3,800. Now, I had two guests on recently, and if you've been listening to the show, you know who I'm talking about. And they were very knowledgeable. They were mathematicians. The downside is that they were selling their own book. All right. One of them was Tom Meredith, and he was into this Bit minutes. Basically, it's a cryptocurrency backed up by cell phone minutes. The theory being that most of the world, other than the advanced Western nations, pretty much pay for cell phone service by the minute. The other was Sean Worthington, and he was selling cloud coins. And Sean's like been in computer science his whole life, teaching it, professor, PhD, etc. Two extremely, extremely bright people. But the problem is they're pushing their own book. But one thing they both said, and I'm trying to verify this, and I've been getting mixed signals is that as less miners entered the space because the profit per Bitcoin mined has gone down dramatically, there are charts that show, like in China, the cost of mining a Bitcoin because of very cheap hydroelectricity is around $3,000 per Bitcoin, and elsewhere it's $5,000-$6,000. So it's gotten very close to the point where it doesn't make any sense to mine these things. And their contention was less miners mean a weakened infrastructure. So what I found out is there's two different types of nodes. There's the mining nodes and there's the verification nodes. There's only about 10,000 verification nodes throughout the world. I thought these nodes were on millions of computers. So as the number of nodes decreases here, we're talking mining nodes, they are a subset of the verification nodes. Okay, they're there specifically to create Bitcoins, to uncover the code, to create new Bitcoins. That's why those mining nodes exist. And then there's pools of these nodes, a whole bunch of stuff you don't need to know about. But they're a subdivision of the verification nodes, which is where when you do a transaction, all of the nodes, the ledgers around the world get updated with your transaction almost simultaneously. And so the verification nodes are crucial. It appears that they are separate from the mining nodes, but I just see problems with Bitcoin. I'm going to learn more about it and share it with you, but it's something to be concerned about. You know, when you think there's only 10,000 nodes around the world verifying Bitcoin, I thought there were millions. I thought there were 2 or 3 million. I think that is a major cause for concern, but I'm not exactly sure how right now. But I will stay on top of this story because a lot of you are interested in it. I got a bunch of emails. Hey, Peter, Kerry, really, this guy's knocking Bitcoin, but trying to sell his own SHT coin. Obviously, he doesn't understand the history of money. Money can be anything agreed upon by the exchanging parties. Bitcoin doesn't need to be backed by anything. What is gold backed by? We already know the fiats are backed by nothing. Don't let these shysters poison your understanding of cryptos. Hey, by all means, I know when somebody's selling their own book, Peter, and he's not going to to cloud my judgment. By the way, I saw this guy or a rep of his company at the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami last year. And he said, well, I'm talking about Bitcoins or cryptos being backed by gold. And he says, oh, well, ours is backed by cell phone minutes. And I thought it was a joke. Hey, does it have a potential application here? I don't know. I'm gonna withhold judgment right now, but I am indeed skeptical, Peter. Don't worry. Hey, next one from Sundragon, Drain the Swamp. Kerry, great podcast on Drain the Swamp. Interesting, John was right about the NEA. As a professional working artist for the past 40 years, I'm in full support of dismantling the NEA, and that's the National Education Association. John mentioned the Met Museum profits, but it pales in comparison to MoMA, Sotheby's, and Christie's auction houses, along with the top blue chip galleries in the world, all involved in extensive money laundering and weapons trafficking. Well, that could explain the price of a Van Gogh these days. And he says the NEA is a for-profit criminal conduit that helps facilitate these transactions. The UN helps facilitate child trafficking. I just hope Trump can get the swamp creatures before they pull him into their murky, corrupt-filled depths. It's a monster movie for sure. Keep up the great work, partner. Best always, G. So, you know, what can you say about it? Yeah, it's completely corrupt. We know this. We've got revelations coming from Q all over the place. QAnon, I mean, you can't even keep up with them. I let the others do it. Do you know that QAnon, so that's the guy that's supposedly White House / intelligence insider who's been doing these drops since October of last year. Do you know that there's over 130,000 YouTube videos dealing with this topic? It's remarkable when you think about it. 130,000 YouTube videos, and I believe there's some truth to Q, but he's going back to these sealed indictments again. And problem is, these sealed criminal cases, if you have a Pacer account, it's really simple to find out for any district what sealed cases are there. All you have to do is run the criminal report and it'll tell you. But all those cases, they said there should only be like 1,000 in a year. There hasn't been 1,000 in the year for 10 years. What's been happening with sealed indictments / sealed cases is that, for instance, if you've got MS-13 and there's a search warrant that they don't want exposed and they had to go to court to get a search warrant, that comes up as a sealed case. If there's a minor involved in the case, that's sealed. There's all of these exigencies why cases get sealed. There could be grand jury subpoenas being issued. There can be all of these things happening. The place where we would know if these sealed indictments were for real was from the grand jury minutes, but all of that is sealed, and that won't necessarily be on Pacer. Understand Pacer, if you're not familiar with it, that's the electronic filing system where you keep track of all the cases going on in every federal court in the nation at any given time, and their history as well. You can even look at the documents as they've been filed on there, but as everything the government does, it comes with a price, 8 cents per page. I spent about $100 researching all these cases. I'm not convinced about sealed indictments. You know, supposedly there's 40,000. If 2,000 of these cases are related to draining the swamp, I'd be surprised. It's possible. And there's just too many things that fall through the cracks. When I sent the U.S. Department of Justice an email asking about sealed cases and what they are and all that, their comment was, "We don't comment on sealed cases." So there's no way to get really good info on this topic. Just be skeptical. A lot of things you see here, yeah, it's coming true, but I don't know that Hillary Clinton has been indicted. I don't believe it. Even Hillary Clinton would have had the sense, the good sense, to keep her mouth shut. But it's interesting that you see the Donald Trump political enemies list. Okay. So that's the list of people who have attacked him and have been anti-Trump on both sides of the aisle. None of them have died, unlike the Clinton family death list. None of them are, you know, taking the dirt nap, but they've been deposed from their companies. They've been fired from their media perches. They've resigned from their congressional seats. The list is up to like 60 or 70. So much better to remove these corrupt people than to go out and kill them. You know, we're just not in favor of political assassinations under any circumstances. It just, we have to do it better than that. And what I've told you before, and I'm starting to see it on various publications, what Trump is doing is attempting to restore the rule of law. And you can't do corrupt things. You can't go killing people off and executive orders, etc., and then just expect that the rule of law is going to come back. You have to use the rule of law in all of its, with all of its flaws and all of its limitations, to get rid of the people who have basically destroyed the rule of law and made this into a lawless nation. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on with that, a lot of things involved, but you've got to use this flawed process to purge the system. Now, you can be creative about it. You can appoint U.S. attorneys instead of special counsels and team them up with the Department of Justice Inspector General's department, which has 470 people working there. I'm not sure if they're prosecutors or I think it's 470 investigators. And the good thing is that the Inspector General of the DOJ, Michael Horowitz, he's been He's been purging out the bad people from his office for 4 or 5 years. So it's the least corrupted part of the Department of Justice. You know, you're going to see they're getting desperate now. The left is totally desperate. It's really hard to take them seriously anymore, but you have to take them serious because they're like a wounded animal. And, you know, wounded animals always the most dangerous when he's cornered. And these guys are cornered now. We're getting to the end. It's kind of like when in Terminator, the humans have the machines on the run and they go back in time to try to kill off, John Connor. And, you know, it doesn't work. Believe me, if the deep state could go back in time to like, 1940 something and make sure that Trump is never born, they would have done it already. So I don't think that's an option here. This is a little bit of levity, but look, like I've told you before, this country, in my opinion, the United States, really started going down the tubes after the assassination of President Kennedy, which was nothing more than a coup d'etat. That's what it really was. And once we lost that ability to just have a peaceful transition of power within the U.S., everything went downhill from there. We had Vietnam, which the country was defeated in and probably should have never been there, but certainly a defeat was not certain. But macro-managing wars doesn't work. We've had a series of losing wars since then, which have depleted the country. We've had corruption like we've never known the likes of before. So many bad things have happened, and it all goes back to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I don't think we would have had 9/11 without the assassination of Kennedy. I really don't. Everything got corrupted. All departments of government, not that they weren't corrupted already, but they became so divorced from their core functions that it was really the death knell for the U.S. as a nation of laws and not men. So we've got this thing called walk away. I believe that walk away is a situation where Democrats, African-Americans, et cetera, calling on other Democrats to walk away from the party because it's become so corrupt. It's just a communist organization in many places. And, you know, there's just no place for honest people in this party. Look, the Republican Party is as bad in many ways. They're all bought and paid for. I remember a professor of mine who was an advertising professor, and he told me that one time he had to pay a bribe to the vice president of the United States. I assume this was LBJ, but I have no way of knowing, except he said that LBJ wanted $500,000. He never named him, I'm just assuming, and a 6-foot-tall blonde. He said, well, the $500,000 was no problem. I just went to the White House, to his office, gave him $500,000. But finding a 6-foot-tall blonde in Washington, D.C. in the early 60s, that was not so easy. So both parties completely corrupt. They are crime families. We need to ban both of them. But to see the Democratic Party collapse, it's much like what happened with the U.S. and Russia. Once Russia collapsed, it kind of eliminated the U.S.'s reason for being. And as a result, we started deteriorating from that point. We got rescued by a couple of different trends. You know, the internet revolution, the dot-coms, all that kind of rescued the U.S., reversed the trend of decline. Technology saved our bacon on numerous occasions, and it might very well do it now. But I love this walk away, hashtag walk away. And there are probably it's a trickle now, but it might be in the thousands of people walking away from Democrats. I'd love to see people start walking away from Republicans too. We should do the jungle primary like they do in California and they do in Louisiana, where nobody runs with a party designation. Party-free primaries. So if you're going to have the parties, that's fine. You can have them, but you can't designate anybody on the ballot as Republican or Democrat or any other party. That is the root cause of political corruption in the United States. So let's find a couple more questions here that you have recently written to us. Some of them I will answer in form of an email. Most of them I will, I promise. So here from Ari. Hi, Carrie. Hope all is well. Been a fan for a while and much appreciate your dedication and the variety of interviews provided. Had a question for John Rubino regarding his hard asset allocation suggestions. One of the asset classes he regularly recommends is prime pieces of real estate. I am hoping John would address the following questions. Expand on how he defines prime. Well, we'll leave this one to John, but I wanted to comment upon it. So prime real estate is in the eye of the beholder. You know, maybe Manhattan real estate and such, but the problem is they've been so blown up and so inflated and so just, you know, there's no more realistic valuation of them. They're trading in a speculative arena now. You know, there's just no way that you can know whether it's fairly valued or not. But over time, I will say that in these key markets, New York, Miami, Boston, San Francisco, LA, the market has rewarded them rich valuations, especially because in these really go-go markets, the one thing they have going for them is that demand seems to keep increasing or at least stays the same, but supply never goes up as much as demand. So I want you to keep that in mind, but I much prefer Jason Hartman's approach to real estate, which is find those unsexy markets where you get cash flow, where you get a good return on your investment, and then proceed to leverage that and build it up over a period of time. So you start with, say, if you'd started 13 years ago when Jason was really beginning his podcast and marketing this to investors, he would have, you know, if you started with 100,000, then you'd probably have the equivalent of about 500,000 now. Now, granted, it's not like Bitcoin. Probably it's better than the stock market, but you would have slept well because Jason's theory worked even during the crash of 08, 09. And that's why, as a proven system, you know, prime real estate's all well and good, but real estate that doesn't go up 20, 30% a year is a lot less speculative an investment. That's speculation when you're buying these prime markets. By the way, Jason is a sponsor here, but I'm not doing this to push Jason's thing. I'm doing it just as by way of illustration as between prime real estate and not. Hey, Eric sent us one. Have you ever considered interviewing Edward Snowden, true American hero? Thanks. I have, but you know, you can't get that guy on the phone. You know, it's like he's on the run. He's certainly not coming on my little podcast. You know, Fox News has problems tracking this guy down. I'd love to get him. If you have a connection or anyone else that does out there, let me know and I will gladly start it up. Hey, here's one from Jesse, long-term follower of the show. I would really love for you to start a new segment, the most ridiculous announcement of the week. I used ridiculous, but it's truly a euphemism after reading this nonsense. Let's ask John. So we can, it's kind of like, you know, authorities should be prepared to act on cryptocurrency. This guy Carstens, you know, the general manager of the Bank for International Settlements, you know, like they don't have to act on cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies are doing a great job of eliminating themselves, but ridiculous announcement of the week. Hey, if you mail them in, we'll cover them, okay? I just don't quite see it. You know, I got like enough work to do. I really think that I think it's valid and hey, let me think about it. All right. Hey, finally, an email from Rich, long-term listener. Rich, thank you. Appreciate it. And my partner, anesthesiologist, did a neck resection on a throat cancer patient yesterday. The patient was on zero narcotics, just CBD oil for pain. I think that is significant. Just thought you should know. There are therapeutic benefits from the cannabis plant, cannabis sativa, cannabis indica. CBD oil has shown to have many, many applications. It is among the non-psychoactive alkaloids that are present within the cannabis plant. And I think that you can see that it's there. It's been suppressed. In terms of migraine headaches, there's still nothing better than cannabis for treating a migraine headache. And that was one of the reasons that there was actually a debate on outlawing or banning cannabis, because there was nothing else to treat migraine headaches quite the way that marijuana did. So there's a lot more to this. I don't pretend to be the be-all and the end-all expert, but I think a lot of things are there, and a lot of benefits that have gone unused for many, many years. It's really kind of a shame, but what can you do? Just the way it is. Thanks, Rich. Thank you all. Hey, few things. Don't forget, go over to iTunes, and in iTunes, just click the subscribe button and keep clicking it. It'll automatically send each new podcast to your iTunes application on your PC or your Mac. That's what I use. I use a Mac, but that's neither here nor there. Also, don't forget, if you're on YouTube, click that subscribe button and the bell. You know, that always helps build our listenership, probably makes them more likely to censor us. You know, that's what they're into. But that's going to change too. You're going to see that change. All of these social media platforms are going to be designated common carriers. And as long as you're not trying to do anything illegal, like overthrow the government of the United States, sell drugs, whatever, and you're not inciting people to violence, they're going to be forced to carry your message regardless. And they're going to be forced to not bury you with their algorithms, that you're going to get equal access and representation to all platforms. I believe that's coming. It'll be here soon. Hey, as always, email me, kl@kerrylutz.com. Be a part of the show. Best part of my day is in the morning when I kick back with a cup of Java and I read your emails and hopefully answer most of them, which I hope I've done here. And if you got anything else, just let me know. Oh, by the way, if you've got guests, if there are particular people I haven't interviewed yet or haven't interviewed in a while that you'd like to hear from again, just email me, kl@kerrylutz.com. We will do our best to get them on. Like I say, Snowden, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that one. Like, I'm not going to be able to get Julian Assange either, so forget about those two. But everybody else is on the table. We will do our utmost to get them. You know, just tell your friends about the show, by the way. If you like this show, you think others can benefit from it, just send them a link to the show and give us some reviews on iTunes and comment on YouTube. By the way, I don't censor any comments on YouTube. I don't remove them except when they are crazy, profanity-laced tirades or, you know, calling into question my sexuality or those of the guests. Even then, I probably am going to leave them on. But religious wackos that say I'm the Antichrist, I'll just block you off and I'll stop you from putting any comments on there. You know, don't pervert, don't distort religion. Religion is very important to all of us. Spirituality, connection to the Creator, believe in all of that. But when you start calling me an Antichrist, that's just silly, guys. Come on, you could do better than that. Let's hear an argument. I can't prove to you whether I'm the Antichrist or not. You know, there is no way. That's like proving to you that I don't beat my wife. At least I don't anymore. How do I prove that to you? I can't. You're asking me to prove a negative. So that is beyond the pale of all reasonable discussion and discourse. We're just not going to put up with it. It's just silly. And you embarrass yourselves. I'm probably better off leaving it up. But hey, this is a family show after all. And I want everybody to be able to listen to it. Anyway, that's it for today. You've been listening to another Triple Lutz Report. This is Kerry Lutz signing off.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.